Amen. We have a number of people that we need to continue to pray for. There are many who are under the weather, sick, not doing well, some in very serious condition. And this is a time that we have to be thankful for the health that we do have sitting in here, but to be thankful enough to realize that the God who heals these lepers in our story today is able to also heal those who are absent from our presence. So keep them in prayer. The thankful leper from the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. The thankful leper. I had a hard time trying to get this title right. I think I spent more time on the title than I've ever spent with a title. So I just spit it out. A thankful leper, that's what it was. So here you go. In 1897, Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote a well-known song, Count Your Blessings. And one of the lyrics uses the following words. When life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And then the refrain, you'll find these words in that song. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. We're going to see a leper who counted his blessings, for he saw what God had done. You see, in today's hectic culture, many believers become so used to receiving God's blessings that they sometimes forget to earnestly thank him in return. In contrast, we'll find new converts who have not previously known God. How they may express true gratitude the first time that they become aware of God's goodness to them. This was demonstrated on this particular occasion in the Gospel of the Luke 17th chapter when Jesus healed 10 lepers. He sent them to the priest, as was the Jewish law requirement. But none of the Jews in the group of lepers returned to give him thanks. The only one who thanked him was a lone Samaritan, a foreigner. So today's message is the thankful leper. There are 4 points. 10 lepers who were counted out. 10 lepers who were counted out. Second point, counting on Jesus, they cried out. Third point, 9 were blessed but unthankful. And then one counted his blessings and was thankful. That's their fourth point. One counted his blessings and was thankful. And these are from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And today's version that we'll be looking at is from the Message version. It's a paraphrase. It is a paraphrase. So we go to our first point in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Our first point, 10 lepers who were counted out. 10 lepers who were counted out. Let's look at verse 11 to around 12 or so. It says, it happened that as he made his way towards Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. 10 lepers who were counted out. 10 lepers who were counted out. The border between the province of Galilee, which is up in the north part of Israel, and the area of Samaria, which is the Roman province, part of the Roman province there in Judea. The border between these two is where Jesus was traveling. Now, somewhere around the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, after Jesus had completed his Galilean ministry, he set his face towards Jerusalem. You might remember that when we were doing the our series of messages on the Son of Man from the Gospel of Luke. He had finished his Galilean ministry, and during that time, he was going between Samaria and Judea and Galilee. Samaria and Galilee as he's heading towards Judea and then finally to Jerusalem. And it's about 2 months before he enters Jerusalem for his triumphal entry. And it's a little bit before in chapter 19 when he meets up with Zacchaeus in chapter 19. So here in chapter 17, he is about to have an encounter with these lepers. And along the way, Jesus has been healing people and giving them the good news of the gospel. By this time, he's quite popular, and many people know about Jesus. And before this passage, he was talking to his disciples about the mustard seed and about faith like a mustard seed. So they had heard about how faith could move mountains. They had heard about the faith of the mustard seed. So now they're about to see that type of faith in action. So on his way to Jerusalem, as he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee in verse 11, we see that Jesus is noticed by 10 lepers. The Bible says about leprosy that it was a terrible disease, and it was. It was a terrible thing, and it pretty much was incurable. In those times, there was very few people that we saw biblically being healed. You might remember Miriam, the sister of Moses, because sometimes leprosy was used as a judgment of sin. You saw Miriam when she wanted to know, how come God can't speak through me? And God had enough of that, and he gave her leprosy for a little bit of time. And then she was healed. And then there was Naaman. He was a Syrian general. And he had come to be healed from his leprosy, which had evidently just started because he wasn't full-blown leper at the time. And a servant girl from Israel had told him about Elisha and how he could be healed. And so a letter was sent to the king and of Israel. And when the king got the letter, it basically said, "Heal Naaman." And he tore his clothes and got upset, because how am I supposed to heal him? You can't heal that. That's impossible. So once Elisha heard about it, he said, "Send him my way. We got him." And so he did. And Naaman came, and he didn't like the situation. But we know the story that he obeyed the word, and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and his skin, the Bible says, was like that of a baby. So, but we don't have a lot of history of people in biblical times being healed of leprosy. And leprosy had many different flavors, but it was a skin disease of all types. And in Leviticus 13 and 14, it describes all of the things that you have to do with lepers. And pretty much, if you had this disease, whichever level of leprosy that it was, you were basically counted out. You were counted out. The priest was in charge. The priests were in charge. They were the inspection department. They were the health department, if you will. And they would go and inspect a person who was suspected to be a person with leprosy. And they had to be inspected. And if they were found to have leprosy, they were no longer able to be with the community of people. They had to live outside the camp. They couldn't be around folks. And so they were cast off. They were living outside. Then the talks about how they must wear torn clothes. They have to wear torn clothes so they could be seen from afar as, "Oh, that's a person with a problem. Don't go over there." They had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," when people came near. Their disease was such that once it got really bad, there were times that their nerves couldn't even feel touch. In other words, if they could walk on glass, they won't even feel it if it gets too bad. There were times, and stories go, that there was a person who was also counted out with leprosy, and they were asleep, and they woke up with missing fingers, because the rats during the night while they were asleep ate the fingers off. So it's pretty bad, and it even goes and starts to attack organs. People can get blind because they don't have feeling in their hands and their feet. When it gets really bad, sometimes they would scratch themselves in such a way that they would put their own eye out of commission. So they had to wear these torn clothes. They had to make sure their hair was unkempt. You didn't go to the hair salon to get your hair did or done. So you had to cover the lower part of your face and just cry out, "Unclean." And what got bad about that was their voice would be affected. So they would have raspy voices. For them to cry out "unclean" took effort for them to cry out, to be heard by somebody else. So these guys were counted out. They couldn't be in a church service. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't be around family. They couldn't be around people. They couldn't go to the mall. They couldn't do things with other people. So they would often band together for safety in camps, and people would bring them food. They ate scraps. Life was not good for those who were lepers. They were isolated, and their diagnosis, when confirmed, wasn't very good. They were made ritually unclean, and to touch a leper defiled a Jew. That's how they saw that. And the distance that you had to stay away from a leper was 4 cubits, which turns out to be about 6 feet. Does that sound familiar to you? Don't hang around about no leper. Stay at least 6 feet, just like COVID, right? Huh? But these 10 men with leprosy, it says, as he was going in verse 12 into a village. Outside the village, there were 10 men who had leprosy, and they met him. They kept their distance in accordance with the Levitical laws. They were outside the village, and he meets them. And when he did, he saw them from afar off. They were outcasts. They stood afar off. Guess what? When we, us folk, all of us who have been born sinners, we were cast afar off from God the Father. For sin separated us. We don't have, as sinners, the ability to fellowship with God, for he was holy. Oh, and when we're separated from God the Father, we're just like these guys. We're in serious trouble. We've been cast off from eternal life. We've been cast off from fellowship with the Father. The Bible says that when we have sinned, the result is death, certain death. And lepers knew that they had no hope, and there was certain death for them. And so they cried out, which takes us to our next point, for they are counting on Jesus now as he is approaching. You see, they have heard about Jesus. They have heard about Jesus. In verse 13, they expressed their desperation. It says that they kept their distance, but they raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When they saw Jesus and his band of disciples drawing near, the lepers immediately recognized him. How else did they call out his name? Didn't they call his name out? They said, "Jesus," right? They didn't say, "Hey, you." There might have been others who have approached the village, and perhaps they would like to have some food or some help, and they might have said, "Help us." But in the case of Jesus, they called out his name. For Jesus had been known. He had gotten popular. So they knew who he was, and they knew the kind of person that he was. That he was a person who had mercy on people. They had heard about his healing. They had heard about who he said he was. They don't know everything about Jesus, but they know one thing. They can cry out to him. And so they did. You see, they were counting on Jesus to comfort them. They were counting on Jesus to give them some mercy. They cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How many people today, when they're in dire straits, go call 1-800-GOVERNMENT-MAN, help me? Sometimes government man don't help that much. In fact, he give you more problems than you can. How many forms you got to fill out? How long is it going to take? A person I know sent a government entity a document, and it took about 15 zillion years to get it back. I remember in my taxes that I sent out for 2020, I believe, I was expecting to get my answer back. I knew I wasn't going to get a refund. But they said they didn't get it. What do you mean you didn't get it? The check got cashed. The check I gave you got cashed. What do you mean you didn't get my tax form? Hello, you cashed my check. It was in the same envelope that had my tax forms. Don't tell me you're going to give me some fines for not turning in my taxes when you cash my check. But I don't have to worry about that when it comes to Jesus. You see, I can cry out and know I'm going to get me some help. And so they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The word mercy has sometimes been used as pity on us. And this is a familiar cry that they were used to uttering ever since they were diagnosed with this skin disease, leprosy. See, they had been cast out of the village. They couldn't go to the market to get some food. There was no Grubhub that they could call and bring food to them. They had to rely on people having pity on them, family members having pity on them to provide for nourishment so that they could eat. They used those lips of theirs, feeble as they were, to cry out for pity, for mercy, as they did with Jesus. The word ilio that's used here for pity means to be greatly concerned about someone in need, to have compassion and mercy and pity for someone. That's what they were saying when they said, have mercy or have pity on us. We got some needs. We need some help. Can you help me? Can you have some compassion on my condition? I can't do anything about it on my own. I don't have the means. I can't work. Don't have a job. Can't do anything unless you can help me. Now, they weren't necessarily asking for healing. The Bible does not tell us that. But we do know they asked for mercy. We do know they asked for pity for whatever Jesus might give them, whatever he decided to offer. They know that Jesus had a reputation for compassion. At one time, Jesus fed 5,000 men and their family, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. If they needed some help from somebody, they chose the right one. Which takes us to our next point. 9 were blessed, but unthankful. 9 were blessed, but unthankful. Looking at verse 14, 9 of the 10, they got blessed that day, but they did not come back to say thank you. Look at verse 14. Taking a good look at them. Aren't you glad that Jesus has taken a look at you and me in our condition? The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, just like those lepers had to wear. He saw our righteousness. He saw our need. He took a look upon us and had pity on us. So before the foundation of the world, God made sure that Adam had a coat of skin to cover his unrighteousness, if you will. He made sure that after salvation, we had a suit of righteousness from the Son of God himself. For we have no righteousness of our own. He took a look at them and he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, he did not say, you are healed, did he? He did not say, you are healed. He said, go to the priest, which was the requirement. And it was detailed. When you went to the priest, if you were a leper, which since most people never got healed of leper, I'm sure there was a lot of dust when they had to figure out, now, what is it we're supposed to do again for these guys? And they went back to the books of Leviticus to find out what they have to do. Well, one of the things they had to do was inspect their skin. And then they had to put them in a quarantine for several days. And then come back and check them again, just to make sure that they actually no longer had leprosy. They had to wash ceremoniously. They had to be clean. They had to cut all the hair off and make sure there was nothing coming back. Because we can't have you coming into the community again if you still have leprosy. So it was a detailed account of what they had to do to validate that they no longer had this horrible skin disease. Jesus did not say, you are healed. He said, go, show, present yourselves to the priest. And the priest, again, were the only ones who could validate and confirm that they were no longer unclean. It was the priest who initially said you were unclean. So it's got to be the priest that say you are now clean. Look what the Bible says. Jesus said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. But in verse 17, something happened. Here's the deal. As they were going, to the priest, they heard the words from Jesus, and faith required action. Right? Because faith without works is dead. They had to step in accordance with what they heard him say. And as they obeyed the word of Jesus, they got healed. Oh, they got healed. They recognized their healing. And they got happy. You can be happy and blessed, but be unthankful. They were happy because, listen, if they had missing fingers, messed up toes, messed up eyes, messed up skin, all jacked up, as they were going to the priest, those body parts begin to appear. Their skin began to be like that of a baby. Their horrible walk because of their messed up feet began to, we're not going to walk like Brother Kason anymore. We're going to walk right now. I'm seeing my skin returning to its color. And they were happy. But they weren't thankful. Verse 17, after the thankful leper came back, it says this: were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Now, Jesus was pretty good with math. He counted out 12 disciples. And when he reported to his Father in heaven that I've kept them safe, save one, he knew how to subtract from the 12 that he counted. So he was good at adding and subtraction. And he knew about division because he said there's going to be some wheat and some tares. And it's going to be divided. Some goats and some sheep. But they're going to be divided. And he was even good at multiplying. Because Peter said, listen, if my brother offends me, and is it okay if I just forgive him 7 times? And Jesus said, no. You got your multiplication problem messed up. It's 7 times 70. So he was pretty good at math. But he had a problem. Because when he saw them, he saw 10 lepers. 10 who cried out. 10 who said, Master, Jesus, have mercy on us. He saw 10. But here in verse 17, he says, we're not 10 healed. Where are the 9? I'm pretty good with math. I know it was 10. But only 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider, this foreigner, this Samaritan? In order for them to get back into society, they needed for the priest to pronounce them clean. And so they took a step of faith to show themselves to the priest, even though they still had leprosy when they started to walk. They took Jesus at his word. And as they went, as they obeyed the word of God, they were healed. And when it comes to salvation and our healing in that department, for the Bible tells me that Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed, meaning our salvation. It requires us to take God at his word that he would save us. And if we believe, he would do exactly as he promised. John 3:16. If we believe, we can have that eternal life. But they were the unthankful 9. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one can be found to return and give praise to God except this one, this foreigner. The only thankful one was a non-Jew. This group of lepers, by the way, it didn't matter whether you were a Jew or a Samaritan. They were all lumped together because they were all jacked up. They were all messed up. They were all counted out. It didn't matter the color of their skin, their race, didn't matter. They were all messed up just as all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But only one was courageous enough to offer thanks, that Samaritan. this comes with some indictments of the Jews living in Jesus' day. Because as he taught in the parable of the tenants, they were not willing to receive Jesus Christ. They did not receive their own. Yet to all who received him in John, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, irregardless of their race, whether they were Jew or Gentile. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it teaches us that he gave the right to become children of God for all of those, irregardless, as God is not a respecter of persons, if they would simply believe. But this one, in our next point, this leper, this Samaritan leper, he was the one, in our next point, one counted his blessings and was thankful. At fourth point, one counted his blessings and was thankful. Looking at verse 15. Then while they were still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around. He made an about face and came back, shouting his gratitude. I just started praising his name. I just started praising his name, Jesus. Glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet. Now, how far are you supposed to stay away from somebody if you had leprosy? 6 feet? 4 cubits? Where was he? He went right up to Jesus. He knew the source of his healing. He could have been like the unthankful nine. They were blessed. But in their minds, they were thinking, man, now I can go back to my family. Man, now I can go back to church because I'll be clean. Man, now I can go back and be part of society again. I can go out to Virginia Beach. I can go out to Suffolk, the great city of Suffolk. I can go out to New York. I can go anywhere. I can be out again with my friends. But not him. He wasn't thinking about reconnecting. He was blessed. They were blessed. They were blessed, and they got ritually or ceremoniously accepted. You could call it clean, but his kind of clean was a different kind of clean, for he got clean spiritually. See, he came back to Jesus. The Bible says that he kneeled at Jesus' feet. He was in a worship position. He was so grateful, the Bible says here, he couldn't thank him enough. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. Here in the Message version, it says he kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful for what God had done as he counted his blessings one by one. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. That word thank in this passage comes from a word that sounds like Eucharist. That's what the Greek word is. It's like Eucharist. It has the idea of what you might see in the Catholic Church or some of the Methodist churches where they have things like Eucharist, which we would call communion. We would call it communion. What is communion? It's a remembrance of what Christ had done through the work on the cross, how he shed his blood. And we are encouraged and told to remember him by the partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine when we come to communion. It's to remember him. And he came back to remember who the source of his healing was. It was Jesus. He came back to the one who he knew had healed him. He looked and saw, just like the others, that his body parts were reforming. His skin was getting clean. But instead of saying, man, I can go back and be with my family again, he turned around. See, he was not unthankful. He was blessed, but thankful. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was Samaritan. So when Jesus said, we're not 10 healed, where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? Look what it says in our fourth point. It says, then he said to him, get up. On your way, your faith has healed and saved you. You can be healed, but not get saved. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
God can save anybody, and he can heal anybody. But just because someone was healed doesn't mean they're saved. He had a different encounter with Jesus than the 9 who were unthankful. So he came back, and not only did we found out that he was healed physically, but he was healed spiritually. The word that is used for in other versions, it says well, has many different meanings to it. You have to look at the context. Not only does it mean well physically, but it also means salvation or rescue. And that's why Jesus used it in this sense. The other 9, they were made well, but he was made whole.
Amen.
For he got saved, for he believed. He had saving faith. He said, your faith has healed you because, one, you obeyed the word when I told you to go to the priest. You obeyed. But then he says, and saved you. Oh, his faith was made whole. See, Jesus gave him a departing blessing. He said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And the King James is also here in the Message version. Takes that and fleshes it out well physically and then saved spiritually. That comes from the Greek word sozo. It is commonly translated to save. To save. To preserve or rescue from natural dangers, afflictions, as well as the word save. And in this case, that's what Jesus, I believe, meant. They received healing, those 9, but this Samaritan received a deeper salvation in addition to the healing. His faith had prompted him to return to the feet of Jesus in thanks. And it was that personal contact with Jesus, this personal submission and surrender at the feet of Jesus, that this soul healing episode ended. You see, it was more than skin deep. It went to the heart. Takes me back to Naaman, when he got healed from his leprosy. You see, Naaman obeyed God's word that was given to him by Elisha. And he, after reluctantly saying, I ain't going to that nasty Jordan River. I could have gone to the river. So no, the servant said, look, man, come on, go back. Listen, all you got to do is do what he said. Obey what he said. Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. So he said, okay, I'll go do it. And when he did it, oh man, he was healed. The water didn't heal him, but healed him. The obedience to God's word. The obedience to God's word. What does the Bible say about how can a young man keep his way pure? How can they be cleansed? Huh? By taking heed according to thy word. The word if I hid in my heart, I might not sin against thee. You want to be cleansed? Go do what God said in his word. You want the kind of cleansing that Naaman and this leper had? Go do what God said. When we do that, to be pure and to be cleansed, it's necessary that we obey the word of God. And when we do so, and we find out the blessings that become, then we do what? We give thanks. Listen to the story of Naaman, another leper who was healed. It says there in 2 Kings 5 that after Naaman had glorified God, these are the words that he spoke. He said, I know there is no God in the world except in Israel. He got saved. He confessed that God was real. He became a believer, this Syrian. He was serious. He was serious. So much so he wanted to give thanks. So he tried to pay monetarily with gold and precious items. Elisha said, no. It don't work like that. We don't sell stuff here. Oh, but he had gratitude. He was thankful. And after he offered the gift to Elijah for the miraculous healing that he knew came from the only God that he could know, the God of Israel. And after Elijah refused to take Naaman's offer of wealth for his healing, he asked Elisha for a gift. What do you mean? He asked to take back some soil from Israel so that he could erect an altar to sacrifice to the God of Israel when he got back to Syria. Wait a minute. What are you trying to tell me? He was so thankful, he was no longer interested in them false gods. Let me take some of it because I don't want that soil. I want this soil. I'm so thankful and grateful to what the God of Israel has done for me, that he's the only God I know. Let me take some soil, Elisha. Is it okay? So I can make an altar to sacrifice to the God of Israel when I get back to where I live. You see, he had a transformation. He got saved. And not only did he get saved, but he was thankful. And he asked him for that gift. Then he said this. And listen, can you talk to the God of Israel for me on my behalf? You see, when I go back, and the king of Aram, my boss, man, the one I got to hang with because I'm his servant, when he goes to the temple of Rimmon, his God, and he's going to lean on me and make me have to bow down with him as he's holding on to me. Can you let God know that I ain't bowing down to this old rascal, Rimmon, that I'm still for the God of Israel? Can you let him know that the only reason I'm doing that is because I'm a servant to my king? But I ain't thinking about that God. He's, no. Just know that when I'm bowing down, I ain't thinking about that old false God. I'm still believing and thankful for what the God of Israel did for me. That's what that leper, Naaman, said. And we see this leper coming to Jesus, falling at his feet, giving thanks as he counted his blessings, because he knew what God had done. It takes me back to a time when I was traveling 2.5 miles to school back in Greensboro, North Carolina. And it was raining. It was raining sideways. I didn't have enough money to take the bus. And the rain just kept coming. And it kept coming. And if you've ever driven down Military Highway, you know that sometimes the cars will go by and the water will spread out to the side and you get wet just from the cars coming by and splashing on you. And I remember I was so tired wearing a corduroy coat of that water. Umbrella was not going to help me. It was just coming all over the place. And I remember saying the exact words that I'm telling you now. God, I'm tired of getting wet. I'm tired. I was tired of getting wet. And I said, I need a ride. And I didn't say it nicely. I was demanding that my God give me a ride. And I said, right now. And the car stopped. And the guy, white guy, in a 1970s car, rolled his window down and said, you need a ride. And I felt so bad, I could not get in the car. And please don't tell me that you would have gotten in the car, because I don't care what you'd have done. This my story, you tell your story. All I know is, in my mind, I was going, I just raised my fist at my God. And all I could hear in my mind was, all you had to do was ask. All you had to do was ask. I was unthankful in my protest to God. All I had to do was ask. I was no better than those 9 lepers who had been blessed, like I've been blessed. When me didn't have a place to live, going to college for a while, living in my car, and I couldn't do anything with my car because it was leaking gas out the carburetor. And I saw the hose, quarter-inch hose, on the ground. I said, wait a minute, let me see if it leaks. I cut it up and stuck it and replaced it with the fuel to the carburetor, and it worked and the car started. And I just praised God. I just praised God. I was so thankful. But that was before this time. And now here I am, fussing with God. Give me a ride. Did I forget the blessings that he had given me before? That I would raise my hand and say, I need a ride and I need it right now. I couldn't get in that car. I spent the rest of the day walking. I was wet, soaked to my underwear. Wet. But all day long, all I did was thank God. All I did was thank God. I went back and counted my blessings one by one. How many times have I called on God and he's answered me and he's protected me? He saved me. Oh, it's time to give thanks to God, not to take him for granted for all the blessings that he's given us, but to spend some time thanking him. Be like that leper. that one who was outside. What would have happened if you tried to go to the temple where the Jews were? They'd have said, nope, not for you. Because remember, as Jesus talked to the woman at the well, we worship at the temple at Jezreel. Was he going to have to go to Jezreel? You know what? Didn't matter. All he knows is, I'm going to the source of my healing. For I trust in Jesus, and I want to thank him. And he worshiped Jesus Christ. He was thankful. When we consider, in conclusion, all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, the very least that we can do, the very least that we can do is to thank him and to give our lives as he did, as he worshiped in full surrender to the one who was willing on my behalf and yours to go to a old rugged cross and to die for a bunch of dirty, nasty people. Just to bring them back into the grace and the family of God, taking all of our sins on his body. Everything that we owed for sin, death, was nailed to that cross. He took it. He took it all. He took it all. That's reason enough for us to give thanks to God. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to have answered prayer. We can't lose our salvation. We are loved by God. Shouldn't we of all people be giving praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God? So this Thanksgiving season, let us be the one like that leper who came to worship and to praise and to thank God for all he has done. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we love you. We know what you did. I know sometimes, God, we get busy.